Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I say it to Him over and over, Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me." This week, I'm talking about the general subject of asking questions. If you're a questioner, as I am, always wanting to know the answer, wanting to know not just the what of what God wants me to do, but the why and the how, then I think maybe I have some things to say to you. I know that there are many times when God is not going to explain to me why or how. When Paul fell on the road to Damascus, blinded by the light from heaven, and heard the voice of Jesus, his response was, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" And that should be our primary question. Lord, what do you want me to do? Not, why are you doing this to me, Lord? How are you going to get me out of this? But what shall I do, Lord, now? And I would ask you this question. Are you willing to understand? What if it requires you to rearrange your life? You may be convinced that a thing is impossible, even though it seems to be required of you. But I want to assure you that if it's required, it's possible. You can depend on that. Are you asking, well, what would this do to me, or to my friend, or to my business, or to my reputation? Let me urge you to leave all that with God. Do the thing in childlike trust. Jesus said, "Whoever cares for his own safety is lost. But if a man will let himself be lost for my sake, he will find his true self." Is your obedience contingent? Like Peter's question to Jesus when he turned around and looked at John after Jesus had told Peter what he was to do, then Peter turns around and says, "But what shall this man do?" And Jesus said, "What is that to thee? Follow me." If our questions are about justice or rights or necessary exceptions, and necessary is in quotation marks, or endless differentiations, remember that Jesus' emphasis was always on purity of heart and on love rather than on law. The pure in heart shall see God. The man who loves is opening his whole life to the Spirit of God. And yesterday, I mentioned an extremely controversial question in some circles. I wouldn't suppose that it's controversial in most circles, but there are some in which it's extremely important. It's just this whole matter of dress and haircuts and slacks and makeup and just the outward appearance. If your desire is to please God, to show your love for Him, to do anything at all that He may be asking you to do, then I feel sure that God will give you the answer. And it may very well be a different answer from what He gives your neighbor. But He sees the motivation of love in your heart. And perhaps only God knows that that's your motivation. I talk so much about obedience and trust. I know I don't talk nearly enough about love, and probably the reason is that I don't know enough about it. but it is my aim. I want to love God, and I want to help you to love him in any way that I possibly can. Janet Erskine Stewart said, "If we do not understand and cannot make up our minds, if we have no courage to undertake or to bear, and we feel ourselves at a deadlock, the remedy will be to humble ourselves, to lay our heads in the dust before God, and to become the servants of others. Then all will become clear as if by a newly created light, possible as if by miracle." Here we see that the real heart of the matter is love. Not the need to understand, the need for a decision, not courage, not insight, but love. The remedy is to humble ourselves. And that's what the verses mean that I read at the beginning of the program. "Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." And I really believe that if you kneel down and bend your neck under the yoke that Jesus Christ would lay upon you, that as Janet Erskine Stewart says, all will become clear as if by a newly created light, possible as if by a miracle. And George MacDonald wrote on matters that are not dealt with in Scripture. He said, "Questions imply answers. If God has put the question in my heart, then he must hold the answer in his. I will seek them from him. I will wait, but not until I have knocked. I will be patient, but not until I have asked. I will seek until I find. He has something for me. My prayer shall go up unto the God of my life." Questions on how God will do a thing very often spring from our passion for knowledge and understanding. You remember that in the Garden of Eden, God had put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve, in a distorted and evil desire for knowledge which was not granted to them, disobeyed God and ate the fruit of that tree. What is it you want most, life or knowledge? Life with a capital L, eternal life, or understanding? What if God's answer should require that you have to rearrange your life? Are you willing to understand? Are you willing to be healed? What a pitfall self-pity can be. We think we want to be healed when the real truth is that we wallow in our suffering. We want the sympathy, which we've been getting up to a point. People do get tired of offering sympathy for too long. If we're in the hospital for a brief stay, we have lots of friends and lots of flowers. If we're there for a long stay, we can't really expect that kind of attention to go on for very long. And of course, if we get completely healed, then we're not going to have that attention at all. So, as Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethsaida, "Do you want to be healed?" I think he sometimes asks us that too. We're asking questions as though the problem is really insoluble, and there's no way that God can answer it, and we don't really want it to be solved when he's saying to us, "Do you want to? Might it cost you something? Might you lose your life if I really gave you the answer?" And the crucial question then is, what do you really want? Is it solutions or holiness? Is it safety or to know Christ? Is it answers or is it orders? Answers or orders? You must become like a little child. Ask the Lord to show you what he wants you to do. And he will show you just barely enough. He doesn't often give us a searchlight on the path, but he will show you the next thing. Romano Guardini wrote, "He who insists on hearing God himself shows that what he really desires is not to believe, but to know. Not to obey, but to react to his own experience. The word is brought to us by other people and still demands what it has always demanded: humility, obedience, and docility. Haven't you had the experience of discovering the will of God through some perhaps even casual remark that somebody else makes, or some line that you picked up in a piece of writing, in a book or a magazine? It's amazing how suddenly it cuts through like a beam of light or a knife right to the bone. And the word is brought to us through other people. And it is God's will that we should learn through other people. Even when it comes through other people, it demands humility, obedience, and docility. What would God's visible light make easier for you? If you could see Jesus in person, do you think that you would be more ready to obey him? Would the decision be simpler? Would the quitting of self for the things of God be more comfortable for you? I doubt it. The surrender of your soul, would that be a snap? I don't think so. He who wishes to facilitate such things, to make them easy, risks underestimating the earnestness of faith, says Guardini. He is prone to seek refuge from obedience in sensational religious experience. Now, that's an interesting phrase, refuge from obedience in sensational religious experience. Are you open to that temptation? May the Lord make us honest before him, asking first of all, Lord, what do you want me to do? And leaving with him the hows and the whys.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.